let me just briefly say why we are here today.
Before we begin that, Your Honor, this is the first public meeting we've had with the new council. Could they introduce themselves to us?
You know all of them. I was about to say why we are here today.
Please, I mean, please.
Huh? Who introduced all the commissioners? Yes. Mr. Bisesar, Rajendra Bisesar, Mr. Maurice Solomon, Ms. Britton. There was a former commissioner whose time expired at the end of September, I think, Mr. Badri Prasad is out. But it's a short of one member. There's supposed to be four. They are three. Mr. Sankar. And members of the staff. On that side, you have Mr. Borshmidu, who's a lawyer. You know that?
Yeah.
Oh. Very briefly, in 2015, the commission had made an order based on an application from GT&T 5-19, and a certain order was made. GT&T had filed an appeal against the order, but they subsequently withdrew the order, and they're applying under the provisions of the Public Utilities Commission Act, Section 77, for us to review of the order and to grant relief, some rate relief, by way of temporary rates or otherwise. So that's why we are here today, to hear the application, to deal with the application for a review of the order which you made sometime last year.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry
says here that it is referring to Order 1 of 2015,
yeah,
was Your Honor's decision,
yeah,
based on their application of 2014, that is GT&T's application,
yeah,
for raised rates. Now that having said that, and the last paragraph here, in this paper, it mentions that they would like to reiterate that in the company's view, the requested review, which is tied to GT&T's rate of return, is separate and distinct from the rate rebalancing, etc.
That's a document we filed.
Yes, this not we filed. This is what came.
Oh.
Yes, this is GT&T's notice of withdrawal. Now, Your Honor, when you made the decision in decision one of 2015, that was based on GT&T's application. Now, that application consisted of both rate balancing as well as rate of return, but it was by far on rate rebalancing, by far greater the stress was on rate rebalancing.
Yeah.
I had written this on memoranda at the time, which GT&T were well aware of, and never showed any disquiet about this. And for example, when I say that, I give you an example in the filing in filing tariff 1/2014 in paragraphs 6.
You were saying that this paragraph or the sentence as the commission is aware, this is from GT&D, is the second page.
Yes, and there are other things too.
As the commission is aware, GT&D is not simply seeking to increase the rates. The company understands and agrees that the regulatory balancing process in the national rates has been significant. We are not tying up a rate balancing in this review.
No,
we were to do that at that rate balancing from subsequent.
They're concentrating on rate of return. But I'm saying that your decision of 1/2015 was based on an application of one of their tariff 1/2014, which included both rate rebalancing, which stressed a great deal on rate rebalancing, in fact most of it, and as well as a little bit of rate of return, as an afterthought almost. And I'm saying that it's a contradiction in terms. It's a contradiction in terms, Your Honor.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Diallo. The matter of the procedure this morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, please forgive me for interrupting. I'm sorry to interrupt Mr. Diallo as well. We're told he's indicated in the sort of position that he's taking. But as a matter of procedure, I was wondering whether, as in the usual course of things, since you're here on an application like GTT for review, that you would allow the applicant to make some opening remarks.
Yeah.
I would expect, sir, in the usual course of things, following that as chairman, you would offer some guidance about the process of what evidence you take, when that will be done. And in the course of that, Mr. Dial and any other person who wish to be heard could make the sort of submissions that he seems to be making. Because I think we're sort of getting ahead and getting into details of things.
Your Honor, just very quickly, in relation to Mr. Burns' statement, the reason why I raised this is because this is the original, this is the...
Yeah, we understand. What's your objection? Is there an objection you're raising or what you're trying to make? What's your question?
I think I'm making, sir, very clear, which in all this time I'll get it over, is that you made a decision on November 1, 2015.
Yeah.
That decision was based on the application done by on tariff 1, that was DTT's tariff 1/2014. Clear? And I'm saying that tariff 1/2014 did not merely speak of rate of return. Tariff 1/2014 talked about rate rebalancing, and most of the pagination of that paper dealt with rate rebalancing. So I'm saying that it's a contradiction in terms. Stress on the state to exclude rate rebalancing from this discussion.
Let's hear what GT&D has to say. Right. Is there a application here?
Thank you, Mr. Ned.
All right, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. On behalf of GTT, please accept our thanks for this opportunity to address the Commission. And for our thanks that the Commission is moving this purposefully in re-evaluating Order 1 of 2015. As the Commission has seen from our quarterly reports, and the updated model that we provided since the order was issued, all key performance all key performance indicators have gotten worse. Please permit me to briefly summarize our prior filing and the current situation. So, one, GTD's rates for local landline services have not changed in over 15 years. Even at the time, 15 years ago, those rates were below cost. As the Commission is well aware, since 1991, local landline service has been subsidized by high margin, long distance revenue. In order to illustrate the trends of our business, GTD commissioned two consultants, analysis.
Before this day, what is the basis for your application? You haven't received anything so far.
Well,
I would suggest, can you put out what you want to say in writing so we can consider it, go back at all these things, and then leave it.
With all due respect, Mr. Yes. Chairman, may I make the presentation?
I'm not going to write all this in the last
writing. We certainly can put it in writing, but for the sake of the public and everyone here, I really need to illustrate the need for us to get rates as quickly as possible.
Yeah, if I was wondering, did this we have suggested to your file something in terms of what the basis for review?
So like I said, Mr. Chairman, this narrative will be provided to you,
yeah.
But I believe that it is very necessary for the public to understand. So we commissioned two studies, and it showed that the cost model that we provided shows that GTT's domestic services are below cost. Now the model clearly shows that current tariffs do not allow for GTT to earn any return, let alone an adequate enough return to maintain the landline services. The thing is, the situation will only worsen with other revenue sources being substantially diminished by competition, legal or otherwise. Now, the staff is not inclined, or the staff has not indicated to us that it finds our conclusions unfounded as a result of their own independent analysis. Since 2001, inflation alone has almost doubled. Our domestic costs. Now, increasing the cost of goods by 90%, and that's based on Stats Bureau's numbers. Now, during the same period, the Guyana dollar depreciated by 9%, and currency devaluation has increased our costs for goods and services purchased outside of Guyana, particularly our network and capital costs. During GTT's history, below-cost services have been supported by margins associated with GTT's exclusive lines of business, particularly international inbound bypass. However, our international long-distance revenue has declined substantially due to illegal bypass and technological substitutes such as Skype and WhatsApp voice. These activities have and continue to substantially reduce billable international usage. Putting it simply, international long distance can no longer be relied upon as a major profit center for GTT, as such international long distance service is no longer supporting the below cost domestic wired dial tone service. Now, putting it in context, our rates have always been substantially below cost. And if there was any doubt that the current rental rate is substantially below cost, I'd like to ask you to compare your current rental rate to Guyana, in Guyana to counterparts in the Caribbean. You'll immediately see that the rate in Guyana is 400 to 700 percent below the region, and is even far less than more developed countries. The rental rates for dial tone service requested in our filing will begin the process of moving the rates to a level where sufficient revenue is earned to make the local network self-sustaining. It is not self-sustaining in its current dispensation. Rates for domestic metered calls are substantially below cost, and we need immediate action. Despite low rates, since January 2006, the average metered minutes of use per landline has dropped by 55%. Moreover, during the period of January 2012 through the time of the original filing in 2014, the drop has been 30%.
And the 2014 filing.
Now, further to that, the use of mobile phones has acted as a substitute in lieu of GTT's landline network. Between GTT and Digicel, there are over 600,000 active mobile lines in Guyana in any given month. Fewer customers on the landline network means that the costs associated with maintaining the network are spread across a diminishing base, because we have a high fixed cost to maintain that network. Consumers choose cellular for the convenience of mobility, despite the fact it is much more expensive. Almost 8 to 10 times more expensive on a per minute basis. The fact that cellular calling is this popular, despite being more expensive, shows that consumers have adequate income to purchase the telephone service and are not making rational choices motivated by affordability, but those choices are made based on convenience. While we are all well aware of the Commission's view of the local landline service as an affordable alternative for the general public, the statistics say otherwise. Consumers have demonstrated an ability and willingness to pay for telephony services. Moreover, prepaid mobile is a pay-as-you-go service, and as such, consumers can completely avoid rental charges and only pay for the calls that they make. GTT recognizes and accommodates in this request the fact that international rates can also be brought closer to cost and adjusted to address de facto competition. We at GTT propose decrease of in excess of 50% for international outbound long distance. So when adjusted for the rate of inflation, the rates to call internationally would have dropped over 90% to almost every worldwide destination when compared to 2001. Now, despite the lack of a rate increase in well over a decade, we've continued to expand the landline network. The Commission is well aware of the billions of dollars of capital that we've invested in the network since the last increase. Yet up to today, the usage trends have made those investments uneconomic. We really cannot spend such amounts unless we get a rate review and increase. As a consequence of all the above, we substantially under-earn. Now, this has been the case since 2011. Based on the conversations with the Commission, it's our understanding that the Commission's calculations support our assertions. Now, we will earn in 2016 as well. 2016 is not finished, but we have a very clear view that we're under-earning on the landline network. And without sufficient earnings, and in the absence of cross subsidies from inbound international long distance, the network cannot be maintained. So finally, in closing, notwithstanding all the valid and good reasons already mentioned, we respectfully request that the Commission grant us these rates immediately, even as temporary rates pursuant to Section 43 of the PUC Act. As we have consistently stated publicly, and to the government, and to this Commission, GTT understands that technological, regulatory, and other changes in international telecommunications environment necessitate a change here in Guyana. We hope with this hearing that the Commission expeditiously acts on this filing. And expeditiously, I would like to reiterate, meaning now. And we evaluate and check the validity of rates granted in 6 months. Mr. Chairman, please permit me to thank you and the other commissioners for the opportunity to address you. Thank you.
I've had a real mouthful from Mr. Nett, and as I told you this morning, that I'm not at my best, I'm quite unwell. But there are a number of things that occur, I mean, and there are other things too, which I'm really going to take up. But looking at his statements about Caribbean, and when you compare one jurisdiction with another, one country with another, and say that there you come to a conclusion that they're the same, they're not the same. Each country is different. Their income rates are different. Their accounting is different, and that kind of thing. A place like New Zealand, I understand, calls are free. And that is local calls are free. And because New Zealand has that, it doesn't mean that we should or anybody else should. I think that comparisons of this kind should be very carefully done and very carefully analyzed to see that they're in all fours. And if they're not in all fours, then they're invalid as a comparison. Secondly, the last speaker mentioned a number of things that happened in the economy about inflation, about devaluations, and etc. Now, there are all kinds of businesses in Guyana, and every business suffers the same or has to face the same kinds of problems. But they adjust, they deal with it, and they don't come and ask their customers to pay more on this. What they do is take necessary action to make their business more payable. And that is so that mentioning the trends in the economy and referring it to one entity is unrealistic when you have other businesses in the country. The same kind of thing should affect them. The other thing about the market. We're told that the market can bear heavy rates because there are cell phones. And the landline phones are obviously a small number of people. And they're taken in, and the kind of people that do landline phones.
Well, some of you are saying you have the subscription you tried to. That's why anybody else would like to send into this around. You know, anybody else would like to say something? Yeah.
Yes, sir. My question is, for those applications that are in excess of 5 years for new service to an applicant, an inquiry only to be sprung with a surprise that all those applications are not dead and you have to get
new. They didn't want to live in the middle of the point. They're not considering taking that into account at this point. It's a different issue. They're quite a complaint if you want that here.
So if I may conclude this point you're making, that about the market, the market, what the market can bear. Now, landlines are taken by people who cannot afford to have cellular telephones. That's the reason that they have landlines. The old, the sick, the arthritic ones like me, the people who are not able, and they have landlines because they have to keep in touch with people. These are not people that you can
say
belong to the general market of the 600,000 people.
Now,
no, 600,000. Yes. 600,000 on the market. And therefore, I think there must be a distinction between them. But having said that, the on the third point, and I think the main point that Mr. Ned raised, is that the rates there are not adequate. Now, may I say this, sir, that any time you want to change in rates or anything, you must have proper accounting. Because without accounting, you cannot see where you are. Or it would be just something plucked out of the blue. And we have GTT has plucked out of the blue a number of rates that they want raised. But it has no full relationship to their accounts, because GT&T's accounting, GT&T's accounting is non-segmented. It is one lump. You cannot know which is which leads to fraud and concealment of profits or whatever it is. That kind
Mr.
of...
Mr. Chairman, I must unfortunately take exception to an allegation that's exactly me. I don't know if that is his intention, but fraud is a very serious one. I can't commit that.
Your Honor, I did not... May I correct this? I said this kind of accounting could lead to fraud. I did not say that company was...
You know what your accounting system is?
Of course, I'm talking about the accounting system, which is not a system.
Mr. Chairman, I want to ask that Mr. Yasin Kaptan's allegations. It's quite serious. It can't be very direct.
Okay. We'll adjourn for 15 minutes and then come back.
15 minutes, but then you went over to half an hour. We have decided that we're going to adjourn the matter and you'll file something. The consensus is that the order that was made, one of 2015, is based on some figures you submitted in 2014. And if there is any adjustments to any of those figures or whatever it is that can influence the application in whatever way.
And the justification for it.
And the justification for it. In what, 14 days, 10 days?
Mr. Chairman, one of our concern is in terms of the process that we embarked upon, a review of the Commission's decision suggests that the primary considerations are a review of the record as the evidence was led when we were here previously. The section that authorizes us to be here does not necessarily contemplate new evidence.
So you're going to propose to find any additional?
Well, it wasn't something we anticipated. I'm just a little worried that we might be in error if new evidence is presented.
It's not new evidence, it's just change of circumstances and a statement as to your figures from 2014 to 2016. This is not fresh evidence at all.
How much time will you
Mr. Chairman, could you hold yourself? As a major stakeholder, let us have safely operate GTT so that we also could be able to give in writing a response.
But that's what we're deciding.
Yes. But then with time enough, of course, because it seems to be a matter of 8-10 days.
No, no, we decide for, you got to decide for a COVID and then you can get it back far.
Mr. Chairman, do it as early as possible. I think you suggested 14 days. We make efforts to do so long before the expiry of that period. My concern, Chairman, the primary interest of the company at this stage is it based on the record and the new information that will be submitted. We would like the Commission to consider temporary rates.
Yeah. See, the thing is elementary, that is why we're requesting certain information. We made an order. You're asking us to review the order without telling us why. In addition to what is in that file, what's there? We need something to prompt us to change the order.
I understand.
It means that we can say that we were wrong in what
I understand, sir.
I talk with the government and finish the book. Tell me.
Mr. Chairman, just before we move off, I don't disagree with you, but I'm acutely aware of the approaching Christmas season. And no questions on the Commission, sorry. Is that what you said? No questions on the Commission?
No. So no Christmas occasions here.
Of course.
No. We gotta have a thing to think about.
So we'll submit by next Thursday.
All right.
Let me fix it.
All right. All right.